Good morning. Good to see you. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm super pumped today. I mean, this is kind of like Christmas morning. So if you're kind of walking in and thinking this is a normal service, it's not. I'll tell you why in a second. But today is our Chosen Reveal Sunday. And if you missed last week, you missed out on a special Sunday as well, but that's okay because we're going to have even more fun today. Last week, over 500 individuals and families, over 500 from all four campuses, took a step of faith to enter into the life of a child, to sponsor a child, and to be chosen. And then Doug, our senior pastor, and I and the other campus pastors, we jumped on a plane, literally last Sunday night, and we got all of your beautiful photos and took them with us. And we flew about 26 hours to Zambia. Yes, Africa. And then we drove about 6 hours on very bumpy dirt roads that they like to call an African massage. That's what they called them. They said, are you ready for your African massage? And we finally got to the village of Moyo. Village of Moyo, about 35,000 people in the middle of nowhere. And when we got out of the vehicles, we were greeted with the best welcome party you can possibly imagine. There was singing, there was dancing, there was cheering, about 1,000 people under a tent. I think we have a picture of that tent. It's kind of hard to imagine, but it was super packed with kids and families and balloons and drums. And then we were treated to some traditional Zambian tribal dancing, some traditional dance, which, of course, we had to join in on. We love joining in on that. And I'm not going to say that the quality of the dancing was excellent, but let's just say there was dancing and there was fun. And so we may show you some of the footage later, if you promise not to laugh. But it was a blast. And then we went into one of the school classrooms that was on the property there, where they had all of our pictures, all of your pictures, hanging up on a clothesline. And one by one, the children would enter the room by themselves, and they would see the carpet in front of them, and they walk forward slowly and timidly, and they would look at this wall of photos, and they would just think about, who do I want to choose? Who do I want to choose? And they chose their sponsor, and it was a beautiful moment. And some of us got to meet the kids that chose us. We were hanging back in the corner, so they couldn't really see who we were. But I was able to be chosen by a little 9-year-old boy named Ristra. And Ristra, isn't he cute? And he picked me and my family's photo out of a lineup. And I don't know why. I think definitely not because of me. I think he thought my wife was beautiful and my kids looked cute. But he chose us. And then I got to meet Ristra's mom. I think we have a picture of Ristra's mom. And she is the mother of 8 children. Ristra is the youngest of 8 children. And Ristra is very shy. He likes to play soccer and go to school. And he even said, unprovoked, he said he actually likes to do chores around the house, which I reminded my boys when I got home that, hey, he actually likes to do chores around the house. So there you go. So now Ristra is part of my family. He's part of my extended family. And I will get to enter into his life and he into mine. And my family and I will write letters back and forth. We'll pray for him and his family. We'll share words of encouragement, prayers, the gospel. This is the gospel. And most importantly, our $39 a month will go to help him, his family, and his community climb out of poverty. The way World Vision works is they take my $39 a month and yours and all of ours, and they combine them together, and it's pooled to completely transform the community of Moyo. Let's watch this short video now to see a little bit more about how that went.
Well, what I think what you're going to find is when you enter into this relationship with a child, you're going to change the trajectory of their life. You're going to change their life. But here's the real truth, is they're going to change you even more than you change them. Because you're going to be impacted. Your life is going to be changed as you learn to enter into what God is doing.
Wow. Wasn't that amazing? It's so awesome. You see, Ristra, the boy who chose me, had not had really any choices in life. He wasn't able to choose to be born into abject poverty where his family lives on less than $3 a day. You heard that right. Ristra and his family of 10 live on less than $3 a day or $90 a month. That's less than some of us spend on our phone bill or Starbucks for the month. Ristra doesn't get to choose what clothes to wear. He only has two pairs of clothes, one that he wears every day and one that he wears his Sunday best. And he, of course, wore his Sunday best to come meet me, which was humbling. But this day, Ristra got to choose his sponsor. He chose me, and I'm so grateful he chose me. I'm truly humbled that he chose me. And there's a spiritual parallel here. Just like I'm humbled that God chose me before the foundation of the world, that I should be adopted into the eternal family of God, I'm humbled that Ristra chose me and my family to be a part of his family. And both families will be forever changed. Let me tell you a little bit more about World Vision's transformative process. World Vision does transformation like any other organization on the planet. First of all, they identify the most vulnerable communities, those with the highest mortality rate, those with the lowest literacy rate and birth rate. Then they commit to partner with that community for 15 years. And they spend the first 2 years just listening, building relationships, determining what the root causes of the problem are, and then they put together, in partnership with the leaders of the community, a plan to help get the community out of poverty. They typically put in access to clean water first, because as we all know, clean water is the source of life. And then they typically provide access to education, food security, nutrition, child safety, medical care, leadership development, spiritual formation, job training. And the result is completely just amazing, like anything you've never seen. It's nothing short of miraculous. And through partnerships with the local pastors and the community members, they begin to slowly and systematically transform communities like Moyo from barely surviving to thriving. And here's the most incredible thing of all about this, is that you get to be a part of this transformation. You, Grace Community Church in little old Tyler, Texas, get to partner with a community of 35,000 people in Moyo, 3,000 miles away, to help them not just climb out of poverty, but to become disciples of Jesus. If that's not the Great Commandment and Great Commission all rolled into one, I don't know what is. Well, today we're going to look at three passages that I call the three greats. The Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and the Great Compassion. They're all found in the book of Matthew. And first we're going to look at the Great Commandment found in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36. And they came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, which is the commandment, the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Don't miss this. Don't miss the detail here. Jesus specifically says that the greatest commandment, the most important thing you need to know, is actually two commandments. I love how Jesus, you know, squeezed in two into one. But the greatest commandment, in which the whole law and the prophets depend on, that means that the whole Bible, okay, everything that we have, that we're to live by, everything that we as Christians depend on, is summarized and depends on this one thing, these two things actually. Love God and love our neighbor as ourself. The word neighbor in the Greek means someone nearby. And one scholar expounded on this a little bit and said that the word here in the ancient context means to love someone you don't currently know. Love someone you don't currently know. Our God said the greatest thing we can do, the most important thing we can do, is to love Him and love people we don't know. Well, how do we love others if we don't know them? How do we love others if we don't know them? This is the profound piece about Chosen that I don't want you to miss. When you decide to be chosen, you get to enter into the life of a child and a family that you get to know and to love. When you decide to be chosen, you are in essence fulfilling the Great Commandment. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty profound. To enter into the life of a family like Ristra's is to enter into relationship with someone that is an image bearer of God. And they'll be very different from us, in that they don't have material wealth like you do. They don't have access to the type of education and opportunities that you do. But in another way, they're very similar to you. They have hopes and dreams just like you. They have fear and anxiety and stress just like you. But as you walk together in relationship with them, you will learn from each other. You will encourage one another. You will empathize with each other. This is the great commandment, to love those we don't know. Now let's look at the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." In this familiar passage, Jesus commissions the disciples to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Church, did you know that we are also his disciples? And that this commission, this commissioning applies to us just as much as it did to the original disciples. You see, we are called, we are commissioned to go make disciples of all nations. But we can't all practically, physically go, can we? It's not practical that we could all physically go. Some of us who are called to quit our jobs and go be missionaries, either locally or abroad, you need to actually go. And if that's one of you and you feel like the Lord's speaking to you, come see me and we'll talk. But for some of us, we need to go by being senders and supporters of missionaries, both at home and abroad. And still others of us can go by simply sponsoring a child and entering into the Moyo community. And when you are chosen, you're not only fulfilling the great commandment, you're filling the great commission. Think about that. You're discipling a child with your love, your support, your prayers, your encouragement, and the simple reminder to them that they matter, that they are loved by God, that they can have hope and new life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You get to disciple them. This is the Great Commission, to go make disciples of all nations, one child at a time. Lastly, let's look at the Great Compassion found in Matthew 25. And Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.'" Little context here in this famous passage that you've probably heard before. Jesus is sitting with the disciples on the Mount of Olives shortly before he is to be crucified. And he's prophesying about the future and trying to explain the end times to them. Very complicated passage. It's a deep theological passage, and I'll try and just simplify it and put it in a nutshell. In a nutshell, Jesus says this: "You will not be saved by your works. You're saved only by the blood of Jesus, by grace. But rather, you will reveal to the king, who is Jesus, that you have been redeemed and are worthy to inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the way that you have compassion for the least of these." In other words, the way we love those on the margins, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the helpless, the needy, the broken, the way that you love the least of these is a direct reflection of our love for Jesus. Do you see this? This is the way that we witness, that we tell others that we're redeemed by Jesus, that we've been bought with a price, is the way that we love the poor and the needy. When we care for those in deep need, those in the shadows, we show a lost and broken world that we love Jesus. Man, that's so good. We point others to Jesus when we have compassion for those on the margins of society. And this is the great compassion, to care for the poor and the needy. While in Zambia, we got to see two very different pictures of this firsthand, and I'd like to share these two pictures with you, if that's okay. First, we visited Stanmore and Linus. And I know it's hard to see there, but that's Linus there, age 21, with her one-year-old on her back. Linus has three children and one on the way, and she's 21 years old, basically the same age as my daughter. But Linus got married and had her first child by the age of 16 while my daughter was finishing high school and going to college. And this sweet, growing family has not yet been fully enrolled in the World Vision Program. They're next on the list. And this was clear to us from the moment we met them. They and their children's clothes were in tatters. Their children had deep, wet coughs, dirty skin with open sores. We learned that they had dysentery that sends them to the clinic 2 to 3 times per week from drinking contaminated water that they share with the animals. They were clearly starving and their eyes were glassy, far away looking. Even the casual observer could tell that they were not well. And yet Stanmore and Linus, this young family, love Jesus, and they're doing their best to raise their children with all that they have. They constructed a rudimentary hut, 8 foot by 8 foot. If you go to the, you could see it there behind that. That's where their family lives. They have one, it's basically just a bed in there on the ground that they all, five of them, all four of them, sleep on. They collect dirty water from a small nearby watering hole right there that they share with the animals. And they trek, Linus treks down the hill and up the hill every day several times in danger of losing her child as she's pregnant. It's just heartbreaking. The next day, we got to meet a different family, Odin and Memory. And even with a bad, grainy picture here, you can see that they and their five children, it's a contrast, a night and day contrast. Their children were clean, healthy, well-fed, wearing fresh, clean clothes. Their eyes were bright and engaging. They were smiling. They live in a very modest 6-room brick house right behind. You can see that Odin built. And they grow crops on their land now that not only sustains themselves, but they're able to sell at the market along with 70 goats that they have. What is the difference between the two families? What's the difference? One main difference is that Odin and Memory's kids were sponsored by World Vision over 5 years ago. And in 5 years ago, through that sponsorship, they've been given access to clean water. You can see the pump here that Odin was so proud of right near their house. They've been taught how to farm properly and irrigate properly and rotate their crops. They were gifted 5 goats and taught how to breed and raise those goats and help to disinfect those goats and to make sure that they were properly, whatever that's called when you have insecticide to make sure that they're not killed by disease and bugs. The children were given access to school and medical care, and the entire family was in a spiritual formation process. Spiritual formation, basically Bible study and learning about Jesus through a partnership with World Vision and the local church. The local pastor was discipling them. So what's the difference here? Odin and Memory also love Jesus. And they don't have any more worth or dignity than Stanmore and Linus. But they were given earlier access to the love and the care and the support that World Vision and their sponsors provide. And we'll never know this side of heaven. I don't know why some are given so much and some are given so little. God knows and God's in control. But what we do know is this. And what we can control is this. What are we going to do about it? We have been given much. Everyone in this room has been given much. And to whom much is given, much is required. And most of us make more money in a day than these folks make in a month or two. And we can sacrifice a little so that they can gain a lot. If we can help transform just one family through our sacrifice, then we, in essence, are transforming the entire community as we help one family climb out of poverty, and they're helping disciple and help other families. And it goes on and on and on. They become disciple makers and world changers themselves. And so, church, we have the opportunity today to change the world one child at a time, one family at a time. The great commandment, the great commission, and even the great compassion can all be fulfilled in one small yet meaningful act, your decision to be chosen today. And many of you have already made this important step last week. I'm so grateful for that. And in a minute, you're going to go out to the lobby and you're going to see the wall of envelopes. And you're going to find your name on that envelope and get your kids if they're in the nursery. And you're going to open that envelope and you're going to see who chose you. And it's going to be amazing. And you're probably going to cry a little bit or maybe a lot. And the rest of you, today is the day. You can still make a choice. You can still make the decision. You can still make a decision to change the world in Moyo. You see, we, with two other churches, were able to sponsor about 1,000 kids in Moyo, but there's about 11,000 kids, 11,000 kids that still haven't been sponsored. And maybe some of you can't afford to sponsor a child fully by yourself. I would encourage you to find a friend, find a roommate, find someone else that you can partner together to help bless these children and these families. So here's what we're going to do. If you pull out your phone, and hopefully we have this little text, you can text GRACEUB to 56170, and it's going to send you a little link back. You click on that and fill out the form. And basically, we're going to take these photos, and on Wednesday, this next week, in 3 days, we're going to have another choosing party, and we're going to put all of your pictures up there, and the kids are going to get to come in and choose you and start a new transformation in their life. So then you'll get an email. You're going to get an email a few days later telling you who chose you, and it's going to be amazing. And you're going to cry then as well. So I'm about to close this in prayer, and then I'm going to send you off to the lobby. And you can go, if you don't want to do the texting thing, you can just head out there to the lobby, to the commons, and one of our staff will help you get your picture and get chosen. And friends, don't miss this opportunity to be involved in what God is doing around the world. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled. I am humbled that before the foundation of the world, you chose to adopt me into your family. And through nothing of my own, in fact, in spite of my sin, you've saved me, you've redeemed me, you've called me by name, and you have said, I am your son. I'm humbled by that thought. And God, I know that the parallel thought here, the gospel here, is that we get to be a part of entering into the life of a child and a family and be a part of the redemptive work that you want to do in their lives to help them reach out of poverty, to help them become disciples, fully living out their own calling. And so, God, as you call us and you commission us, may we listen. May we step out in faith and in boldness to do what you're calling us to do, whether it to be chosen or maybe some of us you want us to do something else even more radical. Whatever that is, God, may we have ears to hear what you have for us, and may we step out in faith and in boldness. May we trust you in the midst of that. May we give you glory for that. For everything that you do in and through us is all for your glory. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.